If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of Malachi in the third chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time, the book of Malachi in the third chapter. While you're getting your Bibles, we want to welcome each of you. Good to have some visiting with us. Want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me the error, I'll be glad to make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. We'd be glad to take your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and bury you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. Good to have Eric Harrison visiting with us. Met Brother Eric, he used to attend at Riverside Drive, and he came up to Campbell Road when I was preaching at Campbell Road in Nashville, Madison. He's in Shovel now, and we're glad to have him visiting with us this morning. If you have your Bible in the book of Malachi, in the third chapter, if you will, look with me at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. At this particular time, you'll find that in the days of Malachi, there was a certain spirit of that age. You'll find that God would ask a question of the people, and God would show a complaint towards the people, and the people would question God's complaint. Many times, I believe at least seven times, God made a charge against the people. And the people would ask the question, wherein, if you have the New or the King James Version, if you have the New King James Version, they ask, in what way? If you have your Bible, you'll find in Malachi 1, God said, I have loved you. But they said, in what way have you loved us? And you'll find that repeated time and time again. You'll find in verse 6, that God said, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If I'm your father, where's my honor? If I'm your master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And then God said, you offered defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? You'll find that God makes a complaint because the people were unrighteous. The people were not accepting his will. And then the people would say, well, Lord, we just don't see it. We don't understand why you would make that charge. And throughout the book of Malachi, you'll find that God charges them with becoming a people that have polluted the worship, who have left the truth. They've gone after the false gods of that day. And you'll find that it was a day that God's wrath will be poured out for their transgressions. However, in the book of Malachi and the third chapter, he talks about a remnant. He talks about the book of remembrance that he had written. And he talked about he had wrote down the names of those who feared the Lord and those who meditated on him. Then if you take your Bible, notice something he says in verse 17. When I read verse 17, there are some words that just strike my attention. In verse 17, God said, those who feared him, those who heard him, those whose names were recorded, those who meditated on his name, notice he said, they shall be mine. Underscore that. God said, they will be my people. Then if you take your Bible, notice he said, on that day, I make them my jewels. If you take your Bible, underscore jewels. What I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is recognize the jewels of God. I want us to recognize that when God looked upon these people that feared him, upon these people that heard him, upon these people who meditated on him, he recognized them as his people, and God identified them as his jewels. Now then, I want us to stop and think about several things. The first thing I want us to recognize is that the God of heaven is an all-seeing God. If you take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the fourth chapter, I need to recognize this morning that the God of heaven sees all. and that the God of heaven cannot be hidden. Anything cannot be hidden from His eye. If you take your Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, look if you will in verse 13. He said, "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things." I have that marked in my Bible. All things. Nothing's hidden from the eyes of God, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So I recognize this morning every thought, every intent, every desire, every action, every word, every deed that every individual does, God sees, God knows. But I also recognize that not only is God a seeing God, but He's a seeking God. Open your Bible to the book of John and the fourth chapter. In the book of John and the fourth chapter, notice if you will kindly what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." If you have your Bible, notice seeking. I want you to recognize that God is all seeing. And God recognizes the transgressions and the wickedness and all of man. But He also is seeking people who worship Him in spirit and truth. In Luke 19, it talked about that Jesus came to this earth to what? Seek and save the lost. God is seeking jewels. God is seeking those that are precious in His sight. God is seeking people who worship Him and meditate upon Him, who fear Him and listen to His Word. So that brings up a thought in our study. Have you ever thought that jewels are rare? Have you ever thought that when God looked down and He seeks individuals to be His people, He seeks people who fear Him and listen to Him? He seeks people that will obey Him? Do you recognize that there are few who will do such? And jewels are rare. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice with me if you will, verse 1. And notice that Peter, the servant of Christ, says, "To those who've obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." Now we'll talk more about this tonight in our lesson, but underscore precious faith. Do you recognize that faith is precious because it's rare? There are so few people that put their faith in God and so few people that will obey God and heed God that it is called a precious faith. And I want to recognize this morning in our study that if an individual listens to God and an individual obeys God, that individual is valuable to God. That individual is a jewel in the sight of God. God says that person is rare, that person is valuable to me, I will call them my own. Have you ever thought that Peter said it's a precious faith? Just like a jewel is precious to man, a man may go out and sell all he has, as we talked about the pearl of great price, for a precious jewel. Have you ever thought that God looks down and God sees people that obey Him, listen to Him, heed His Word, fear Him? He said, they are precious in my sight. But then if you have your Bible, notice something else. It's valuable because of how rare it is, but notice something else. If you take your Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice how valuable faith is in verse 7. And we'll come back to verse 7 in a moment. But notice the statement that the genuineness of your faith, underscore genuine. Notice God's not looking for counterfeit jewels. God wants the real thing. And notice He said your faith is going to be put to the test. And notice that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So now then, I want to bring several things to our mind about the jewels of God. The first thing I want to bring to our mind is that the jewels of God can be found in the most unexpected places. Here we've already identified that God's jewels are precious. and that God's jewels are rare, and that God's jewels must be tried. And I want you to think about that you can find individuals, even in the days of Malachi, that when the majority was going opposite of God, few obeyed God. God looked down and God said, they're precious to me. Those that fear me, those who heed me, those who meditate on me, they're my people, they're my jewels. But now then, have you thought about in other scriptures, you'll find jewels in the most unexpected places and in the most unexpected time. People that we might not ever think would come to God, and yet they're jewels in the sight of God. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, notice the statement about the man Elijah. And God is talking to the prophet Elijah, and Elijah's complaining, and he says, just take my life. He says, I'm no better than my forefathers. And you remember what God said to Elijah? In a day where iniquity reigned, in a day when people were bowing down to Baal and not worshiping the God of heaven, God said to Elijah, I have reserved, in verse 18, 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Have you ever thought that there were 7,000, even in that day, when iniquity reigned, when transgressions were being committed, when people were bowing down to a dumb idol and saying, that idol is God? God said, there's 7,000 that are still precious. There are 7,000 that are obeying me. In this day of iniquity, God said, I know my people, and there are 7,000 who have not yet bowed to Baal. Have you ever thought they were jewels in the eyes of God? But then if you take your Bible and look in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter, you'll find there's another jewel that was precious. You'll find in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter a man identified as Noah. And when God looked down, you remember God sees all. And you remember at that time the world had become so filthy and ungodly that in verse 5 it says that the thought and intentions of man was upon evil continuously. And God repented that He made man. You know, I read that verse the other day and something struck me. I never see where God changed His mind about that. I see where God looks down and He saw that He made man good. He saw that man was an individual that had free will. But then you find generation after generation of men that rise up and they don't listen to God, they don't heed God, they don't obey God. And then God repented, He made man. And then I read where God said, I'm going to destroy the world. And God sends that flood, but there was a jewel in the eye of God. There was one that was rare amongst the iniquity of the people. That man was Noah. Have you ever thought the race of humanity was saved because Noah found grace in the eyes of God? There was a treasure amongst all the rubble. There was a treasure in the eyes of God amongst the rubbish that the people were doing in that day. And because of Noah and his family, humanity's race was saved. There was a jewel in the midst of all the iniquity. God looked down and He saw one who heeded Him, who loved Him, who served Him. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you think in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll find a man who at one time served God, then he quit serving God. He became unfaithful to God. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll find that man came back to God. And you know what Paul said about that man? Paul said he's profitable, he's useful. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 11, get Mark and bring him with you. He is useful to me in the ministry. Here was an individual at one time that quit. But notice he came back. He was a jewel in the eyes of God. He was something that was useful and precious, a commodity that could be used for the kingdom. And so when I read my Bible, I find individuals that were jewels in unlikely places in an unlikely time. Look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter, you find a man who was a tax collector, despised by the Jews. You remember that the tax collectors worked for the Roman power. They would go amongst their own people. They would charge exorbitant amount, often pocketing some for themselves. and they were looked upon as traitors amongst the Jewish people. But in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, you find this one identified as Matthew. And notice he leaves his job to follow Jesus. He was a treasure. If you were to say in that day and time, Matthew would be a disciple of Christ, many would look at you and say, he'll never be a disciple. He's nothing more than a tax collector. He's like a harlot. He's like a great sinner. And yet, my friend, I want you to recognize God can find jewels in the most unexpected places. But then I want you to think about that man identified as Paul. Have you ever thought of Paul? In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, and in the book of Acts, in the 22nd chapter, the account is retold where that man who one time persecuted the church, had great zeal and fervor against the way, wanted to do away with those who followed the Christ, he himself became a disciple. He himself changed. He himself was immersed into Christ. He himself became an individual who proclaimed the truth of God. That man became a jewel in the eyes of God. But then think about in Acts 2. In Acts 2, when you have 3,000 people who were brought to Christ, 3,000 people who at one time stood opposed to him, some of the very ones who were guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. And then you see those individuals changing. You'll find that God can find jewels in the most unexpected places. Well, that brings up a second thought in our study. Not only have we identified that jewels are rare, and not only have we all identified that jewels are precious, but we've brought to our mind that jewels can be found in the most unexpected places. But jewels must be tried and grinded so that they'll polish and so that they'll be what they need to be. Sometimes jewels are in raw form and they need to have the genuineness brought out. Look, if you will, back in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what he said in 1 Peter 1 we read just a moment ago. God's not looking for someone to be a counterfeit Christian. There's no such thing. If you're a fake Christian, you're no Christian at all. If you're not living what you proclaim to believe, you don't have faith that is genuine, then I want to tell you, your show, your acting gets you nowhere with God because we've already established He's all-seeing. God seeks people to worship in spirit and truth. He's not seeking someone to fake it. God wants someone to love Him. God wants someone to care for Him. God wants someone to obey Him. And he said that the genuineness of your faith. Have you ever wondered why in this life we go through trials and troubles? Sometimes we look at God and say, God, if you love me, why are you allowing me to go through all this hurt? Can I tell you this morning with the love of God in my heart so we can establish whether we have precious faith? If our faith is never tried, then I'll tell you, it won't ever be put to the test. It won't be tested by fire. And then notice what it won't happen. In verse 7, faith that is put to the test may be found to praise, honor, and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But faith that is never tested is no faith at all. Faith must be put to the test to show who we truly believe in and if we believe the promises of God. I'll never forget one time talking to some individuals. And they would have their children jump off the bed. And they'd catch them. You ever done that with your children? You know, kind of a dangerous game. But they, as long as their daddy was catching them, they would. Now, if I was Jess Heiss's children, I wouldn't play this game with them. But for most people, if they're going to jump, their daddy catch them and they'd sit them down. But I'll tell you, he had that coming, by the way. But if you take some other children and their brother or sister's down there and their brother and sister says jump, guess what? They don't trust their brother and sister to catch them. Why? Their brother and sister's let them down before. Now, you think about faith. What do we do? God says, I'll be there with you. God doesn't say He'll remove every trouble and every hurt and every trial, but God says, I'll help you through it. Now, man may let us down. God has never let us down. Because God has never promised to remove the trials of faith, what God has told us He'll do is be there to strengthen the faith. You ever thought of that? I'll tell you, when I was a little boy, I had to be in the hospital for a while. And I'll never forget when they first told me they was going to have to take my blood. And I told Mom, I said, oh, they ain't taking my blood, no. She said, I'll hold your hand. And I'll never forget when she put out her hand, I squeezed it so tight, and she had her rings on. And I think it hurt her worse than it did me. And I saw her going, ow, 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 ow. But you know what she did? She stayed there with me through the whole thing. And you know what? She hurt right along with me. When our faith is put to the test, it's not God in that which is hurting us. God is in us hurting. But He is there to make sure that our faith is genuine. Have you ever looked in your Bible in the book of Genesis in the 22nd chapter that man identified as Abraham? Abraham, who was not able to have a son. Then Ishmael came along and that was not the son of promise. Then through Sarah, in their old age, they have the son of Isaac. And then God says, take your son, your only begotten son, up to Mount Moriah and there sacrifice him. And for 3 days, in the mind of Abraham, his son was good as dead as they traveled up that mountain. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to put my son to death. And he even raised his hand to kill him. That is your faith being put to the test. And God stayed his hand and God said, now I know you fear me. Sometimes God has to remove the impurities of life. Go back to the book of Malachi and the second chapter. When you come to the book of Malachi and the second chapter, notice with me if you were the third chapter. Look, if you will, at verse 2. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know how they purify the silver? The refiner sits over the fire and he puts the silver there and it burns and it burns. And he sits there and he removes all the impurities of the silver. And when it continues under the fire, the impurities raise up. He's able to scoop them off to make sure that that is genuine, that that is pure. And He says that the pureness of your faith, that's what He's looking for, a genuine faith. When I look out, I see people here who've went through great trials. I see people here who've lost loved ones and children, and I recognize what faith you've had to have, but I want you to recognize too, God has held our hand through that. And God looks at us as His jewels. God looks at us as His treasure. In James 1:2, He said, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. How do I count it joy? Knowing what? That the testing of your faith, that's what's going to be tested. And it's going to what? Give me patience and endurance. But that brings up my last thought. What are God's jewels made of? First, they're made of humble people who listen to Him, who heed, who obey. In your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, notice with me, if you will, the statement made by Peter. In 1 Peter 5, notice in verse 6, therefore, humble yourself. Why? Under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He had already said in verse 5 that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God wants individuals who recognize their need of Him. Do you recognize this morning you need God? You may say, oh, preacher, I don't need God. Okay, I tell you what, quit breathing His air. What's going to happen? You say, I don't need God. Quit eating all the things He's provided us. I don't need God. Quit using His Son. Everything we need for life here He's given us, and everything we need for life beyond the grave He's given us. And I want to tell you, my friend, it's time we humble ourselves in this nation. No man is a self-made man who understands that they're made in the image of God. God is the maker of mankind. And what I need to recognize is I am under His control. I need to humble myself. I had a friend tell me one time, you know what the Weather Channel is? God's Comedy Channel. And I thought about it. That's right. Man can try to predict the weather and we can get down certain things, but we miss. I could get up and say there's a 50% chance of rain. I'd be right some of the time. Who controls it? God does. And what I need to do is humble myself in His sight. But then secondly, not only do I need to humble myself, I need to obey Him. God is seeking those who obey Him and reverence Him and worship Him in spirit and truth. Open your Bible to the book of Mark in the 16th chapter. In the book of Mark in the 16th chapter. Notice with me what Jesus had to say when He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in verse 15. Then He said, "He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." God seeks people to obey Him. You want to know who a treasure is in the eyes of God? Those who have faith enough to obey His Word. Those who have faith enough not to add to what He said or take away from what He says, but do exactly what He says. Those who say that I'll put my trust in His will, His Word, His way, and be obedient to Him. Those are those who are treasures in the eyes of God. But then I'll tell you a third thing. Individuals that are dedicated to God. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Philippian letter and the third chapter. When you come to the Philippian letter and the third chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly, the statement that the Apostle Paul made. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wanted people to understand his faith. He said in verse 7, "What things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, from whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him." God wants people that dedicated, fully dedicated. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 12th chapter. When you come to the Roman letter and the 12th chapter, notice what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the kind of life we're to live to give Him glory. He says in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." God doesn't ask anything unreasonable of us. It's reasonable, He says in verse 1. And we're to be a living sacrifice. So that we are the jewels of God. I roll goes with this. If you have a thought what heaven will be made up of is the jewels of God, that which is precious to you. My question to us this morning is He precious to us? The only way we'll be precious to Him is if He's precious to us. In Matthew 6, He said that we're not to lay up our treasure here, but to lay up our treasure in heaven. Because He said in heaven, thieves can't break in and steal, rust can't destroy, moths can't destroy. He said that's where your treasure needs to be. And He said where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to raise a question. Where's your treasure? Because Romans 2, 5 says there are some who are treasuring up for themselves wrath in the day of judgment. Why? Because of their impenitent heart. They've ignored God. They've rejected God. They've not heeded His will. They've not listened to His word. They've not feared Him. But I want to tell you something. They're going to fear Him in the day of judgment. Only problem would be it'd be too late. And what I pray is that we recognize God paid a great price for us in the death of His Son to save our souls. He looks at us as jewels. Shouldn't we look at Him the same way? If you're here this morning and need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. Together we stand.